Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LATalkRadio.com. Once again, we're ready to help you out. And I mean ready. And I mean we. I'm talking the team. We're going to help you out with some of the questions that you've asked that have to do with some relationship issues, how to find healthier people, getting to your higher self so you'll be a better partner for someone. How about just so you'll be a better person for you? So we're going to talk about these and many more subjects today. Because what's going on here is I receive a lot of questions at my Gmail, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I'm going to kind of answer a lot of those questions today. And everybody who is going to benefit from some of the suggestions I give, y'all have been contacted. I'm giving different names in order to, you know, just keep your identity confidential. But anyway, so what I've done is I've compiled some of the most common questions that I get from people online and also in my practice. Wow, I mean, there are so many common things, and that's good. Because it makes us feel like we're not alone. I mean, we all, so many of us have the same fears and kind of self-esteem issues and questions about healthy relationships and how to just improve ourselves in general. So that's what I'm doing today, is I've picked some of the most common questions that I get in my office and online at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And we're going to just roll with it. Because what I want to do is I want to help you out. Now, keep in mind, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm not your therapist, so, I'm just clarifying that right now. I just give good suggestions because I've been doing this a while, and just throw it out there. So you get to choose sort of what you want to take in and or throw away. Say, nah, Dr. Michelle's wrong. Don't feel good. Been there, done that. And that's cool, too. So welcome to the internet's most irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk radio, latalkradio.com. Now, if you'd like to email me during the show, go for it. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So, what did she say? Yeah, he's looking at me weird. What? straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. All right. So what we're talking about today, specifically, is working on ourselves, some of the relationship issues, how to identify a healthy person, or how to get yourself together a little bit before you're ready to jump back into a relationship after having maybe some bad experiences, how to find a good partner. And also a really interesting question that I come upon a lot of times is how to cope with a really difficult parent and grow up as a healthy adult without being messed up. And I'm not blaming mom or dad. I'm not blaming it on the parents, because I always come from, hey, there's a reason why they are the way they are. They're not bad people. They've just got stuff going on, as we all do. And a lot of people don't understand, some disorders. They don't understand chemically. And, it's medical stuff. And they take things personally, which we all do. But they don't understand that sometimes some parents just can't be perfect because, you know, they have chemical imbalance and they're working on it. Some are not. But anyway, so that's a few of the subjects that we are going to cover today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump in. The first one, this is a relationship question, and this comes from Amanda. And she wrote me a while back, and I hope you're listening. Yeah, my producer called you and said, Amanda, we're doing this thing. That's not your real name, but yeah. So she said, Doc, how can I tell if a guy who I'm starting to date is not a good fit for me? It seems like I have a lot of bad luck and always pick guys who just want to hit it and quit it. Or I fall for guys who my friends say are narcissists. So how can I spot them? I need some red flags to look for. All right. So that's a really valid question. And I, like I said, I kind of do get that a lot. And by the way, she says, P.S. I was in a bad relationship and still recovering from being hurt and cheated on by a guy I was with for about a year. Okay. So so if you're doing some online dating, you're just sort of getting out there a little bit. This is what I'm understanding, Amanda. And you're a little shy and a little fearful. Maybe you don't trust yourself because you had some bad judgment in the past about people you thought who were going to be great relationship partners. And then you got hurt and said, why didn't I see that coming? And then you beat yourself up and all that stuff. Well, we all do that from time to time. We have to go through these experiences to learn what we do want. But we have to learn what we don't want in order to learn what we do want. So stop beating up on yourself. Be gentle. And everybody goes through these things. And it's called life's journey into finding the right relationship. So that's really good stuff. So what I'm going to give you are some just... little red flags you got to look for. If you started to date someone, you're starting to get to know someone. We never really know until we meet them face to face, sit down with them somewhere, have a drink, whatever. After, you know, texting forever, maybe chatting on the phone a little bit. They sound great. They sound cool. Their profile's good. Everything's looking good. Yeah, let's go have that drink date or that coffee date. And then, yeah, so they look good and they sound good and they're fun and they're interesting and all that. Maybe I'll go back for a second date. This is good. And this, you know, goes for guys too, but I'm primarily answering Amanda's question here. She's talking about guys, what to look for, red flags. So, you know, take your time when you're going out there to meet people, because especially if you don't trust yourself because you've had bad relationships in the past. So I say just, you know, kind of dip your toe in the water and just sort of feeling it. You have no obligation to see anyone again, you know, and, you know, some of the things have matched up. You know, you're feeling good. They check some of the boxes, so start going slowly. But here are some red flags, and you guys probably already know this, you girls who I'm talking to right now. I think one of the most important kind of things to look for is their communication skills. So sometimes guys who are, you know, red flaggers, they really don't make much of an attempt to have a deep or meaningful conversation. Now, you don't have to get deep on the first date, second date, third date. You don't have to get deep. But I'm just saying somebody who's a little more transparent will tell you about themselves, maybe a little bit about their past, a little bit. You don't want someone who starts bad-mouthing exes right away. No. Not good. Nope. Also, you want somebody who really, you know, is able to eye contact with you and has, you know, body language. You guys may know if you look on my website, and it's talkshowtherapist.com, I'm a body language expert. I've studied that for years and done it, you know, on a lot of shows and worked with police departments and stuff like that. So my thing is you really get keen to their body language, right? So if you're sitting across from them, you kind of learn about people who are, you know, hiding something. You know, you got the closed body language as we talk about. So they're crossing their arms, they're leaning forward, they're crossing their legs, they're holding on to something. You know, in other words, it's safety body language. That means that they're, ooh, they're uncomfortable or they're not willing to be quite open and honest. And that takes a little while to get somebody who's, you know, comfortable and does that. But just kind of look at the body language as well. Are they eye contacting you? And on that note, are they giving you the creepy stares? Because they were told that it's really good to eye contact and they're staring at you. Scary sometimes. So that's that's kind of someone who's a little clueless and doesn't know that they just have to have occasional glances around and all that. Oh, and on that note, also, make sure you're not with somebody who's looking around the room as you're talking. They're over your shoulder. Do-do-do. They're just looking around the room and or they're checking out other women. Or both. So that's another sign when you are first seeing someone and out there in public. So it's the communication, it's the focus, it's the body language. Also, if somebody doesn't make an effort to travel out of his way to see you a little bit and always wants to meet, now, if y'all are listening on, you know, anywhere in the world right now, and you have not been to the Los Angeles or Southern California area, it's a very vast area, and we all live on the freeways, right? So it takes a long time to get to where you're going if you're even outside of the Los Angeles area for a minute. I mean, literally, it's really bad. So, yes, I get it, but we call someone living in a far end of the Los Angeles area a geographically undesirable. I mean, most people say, oh, he's out of state. He's, right? Okay. So if somebody really won't make an effort to travel out of their way to see you or meet you and make plans, that's kind of a heads up too, especially at the beginning of a relationship, because that means that they're not going to do that unless you express yourself and it's going to be not good for them. So you don't want somebody like that as well. Also, if they don't make any original or special plans, say, hey, what kind of food do you like? There's this really cool place. And we can meet. I mean, that's cool to meet somebody. I really prefer that, actually. Don't let them pick you up for a while, but meet somebody. But if they're not willing to go out of their area, then yeah, that's a red flag. That shows that he's not that interested. Okay. Also, somebody who's a little too oversharing, and they're way all over you too soon. They're like in the body language, is like into you, and they're like, I don't know, don't touch me, just quit staring at me. You know, if they're way all over you and they're sharing way too much, that's a little sign of desperation, possibly, or too much confidence. Maybe a little narcissism in there. You just kind of just look at someone who's a little more gracious, has boundaries, that kind of thing. And somebody also who calls at the last minute. Let's say you started dating for a while and they call at the last minute and they say, hey, what are you doing tonight? You want to come over? You know, and this is just getting to know someone. This is not after you've been dating somebody for like 2 months or 3 months or whatever. And you've seen him a lot. So, yeah, if he calls at the last minute, just be aware of that. And I know you want to probably be with that person maybe, and it's exciting and fun and all that. But if he tries to get you to come over to his place, come on over. I'm like not doing anything tonight. You know, don't do that. Okay. So other than that, I mean, I would just take it easy in meeting new people and take your time. Unless you're uber attracted to somebody and you just want to have a sexual relationship, that's your choice. I mean, I don't know, judgment for me, whatever works. But if you're looking for a relationship, you know, you want to just kind of carefully take it easy and dip your toe in the water and date a lot of people and find out what you don't like, what you do like. And those are just some tips for you, Amanda, as to how to sort of gauge who might be really good relationship material, right? And also, if you've been in a bad relationship for a while, you really do take your time because you're kind of healing. So I always say put some space in it. A lot of us have a tendency to jump back into a relationship because, you know, rebound. But that's probably not a good idea because our heads are not completely squared away from the last relationship and we're just running to look for something else to comfort us, which is fine. You'll hear me say that a lot, which is okay. Whatever you want to do, but it just gets you through your lessons a little quicker if you don't do things like that. You go, oh yeah, why did I do that? I was just so lonely, desperate. If you can identify it and you say, I'm willing to do it, cool. But don't beat yourself up for it. Alrighty. Speaking about that, what I want to do is I want to answer another question here. And this is from Lisa. This is really along the same lines, but it's sort of getting yourself ready. And by the way, if you would like to ask me a question, I'm sort of lined up here with a lot of questions that I prepared the answers to and am ready to help folks who've reached out to me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com here on the couch. But if you have a last minute question or you want to reach out or something like that, please let me know what you or if you have a comment about, something you've experienced that's similar to what some of my other listeners have reached out to ask me. And again, I'm not your therapist. I'm just giving suggestions, ideas, some of the things I know and learned while I've been doing this for a little while. I do work with people with relationship issues a lot, and building self-esteem is a huge part of that. So here we go. This is from Lisa. And it says, some people say that in order to find a good partner, you have to think about your readiness for a committed relationship. And that's what I was just talking about. In the last response to Amanda. It's like, we want to jump back into a relationship right after, maybe we get out of one because it's like we don't want to feel alone or. But it's really good to be kind of ready for a committed relationship. So she said, isn't it just good to get out there and meet folks, see how it goes in terms of things you have in common, things you respect about another person, and of course, if you're attracted to that person. Thanks, Lisa, for that. And absolutely, yes. Like I just said to Amanda, yeah, you got, come on. I mean, you get to see the profiles, but unfortunately, the first thing is usually based on how attractive they are to you, and everybody's different, and all that. So that's really important. I mean, but you do have to think about your readiness. So this goes out to you and Amanda, who wrote me as well a little bit earlier. Are you ready to get back into a committed relationship? Okay, so this is when you're ready to get real, keep it real, not just go out there, date, and party, and have a good time. That's another time in your life, and that's fine. But this is for relationship readiness. Here we go. So what we have to do is sort of, maybe answer these questions. Write these little answers down for yourself. All right? And if you just tuned in or you tune in a little late, I don't know, you can listen to the show as soon as we get off the air. It'll be up in the archives for downloading and replaying. All my shows are also available on iTunes Podcasts, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. So here we go. Here's what we're doing. Sort of getting ready for a serious relationship. We've been through a lot. We're ready to kind of get out there and really find a decent person. So we have to get our act together for that. We can't put our stuff on somebody else. We can't expect someone else to guide us through life. It's all within. Gotta look within. So here are some of the things that you need to look at. I have a clear vision for my life and relationship. You got to really look at those things. Can you envision your perfect life? Can you envision the really great person that you would like? Write down all those things. I know what I want in someone. Somebody who keeps it real. Somebody who is strong, someone who has self-confidence, someone who is really nice, someone who has manners, whatever it is. Okay, you need to have sort of a clear vision of what you want before you get ready. You just don't start going out there and, meeting people. He's cute and see if it sticks to the wall. Can't believe I just said that. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Also, number two, I've written down here that it's really important for you to write down non-negotiable requirements, high priority requirements that you use for screening folks when you're starting to date them. Okay. And if any of these, like I would say 4 to 5 non-negotiable high priority requirements that you need in a partner, if any of these 4 to 5 are missing, well, I can, don't try to fudge it just because he's hot. If these things are weird and your gut is telling you something's not right, it's not going to work for you. You're going to be in the same, you know, little hamster wheel of going through relationships again and picking the bad guy. So that's just an idea. All right, something else to get yourself ready for a relationship. Are you okay with being single? Have you been okay with being independent? Do you enjoy your life right now? Pretty much. Have you sort of carved out a, I don't know, a career or something you like? Are you in a position to where you're feeling good? You don't have to be very, really successful yet. You're just sort of working on your life, no matter what age you jump into it. Are you happy with a few family members? Do you have decent relationships? Do you have friends, support systems? Do you like yourself? Can you be alone? Yeah. Are you living the way I want? You got to ask yourself, am I living the way I want? Well, maybe not. Maybe I should tweak my environment a little bit. I need to get rid of the clutter. I need to, I don't know, make my environment a little nicer. You know, whatever it is. You just have to check in to see if you're not seeking a relationship out of desperation and need. And just find kind of your own happiness. Am I cool with me right now? And that's the crux of it. Got to ask yourself also if you're ready and available for a commitment. Like I said to Amanda earlier, you know, we carry around a lot of baggage from being hurt in the past. We don't trust ourselves. So you got to see if you're ready, you know, for a committed relationship. So you got to check out your schedule. You know, I see a lot of people who work, especially in Los Angeles here. There's a lot of folks in entertainment. All, you know, scale, all sides of the spectrum of entertainment. And they're working 10 to 12 plus maybe hours a day. They don't take lunch. It's just the rigorous schedule of the business. And you got to kind of get your schedule together so you can carve out time to start seeing someone, especially if you meet somebody you really like. You got to kind of change around your lifestyle and allow your availability to build a new relationship. Right? So you got to get rid of some of the emotional baggage from a previous relationship. Got to trust yourself a little bit, get your act together, like who you are, and allow yourself to be available. A lot of people, I see men and women, just a lot of times they stay busy because they're not ready for a relationship. And they make kind of an excuse. I'm so busy. But yeah, and notice that too. Are you doing that to avoid intimacy? That's a biggie. Also, if you're satisfied with your work and your career, no matter where it is, are you building on something? And if you're not, you find ways to sort of make some changes. I know it's hard to find jobs that are right. I know it's difficult. You got to really keep it out there and you've got a network. It's a job to get a job. But what I'm saying is being happy with yourself. That's a big part of it. Speaking about which, are you healthy in your mind, body, and spirit? Do you take care of yourself? Do you exercise? Helps the mind, helps depression, helps anxiety, helps you look good, you know, and it's all related. You've heard me talk about mind-body connection. So, you know, if your physical, mental, and emotional health does not interfere with having the life and relationships that you want, you're getting there. Good for you. You're building yourself up. You're working out. You're getting some therapy maybe if you have some unresolved issues, whatever. Make sure a lot of your financial and legal stuff is handled. If you've got a big pile of debt, you but kind of want to work that out a little bit. You know, so you're not overwhelmed. You got to figure out or meet with somebody who can help you with your finances. Specialists are good, you know, negotiating, paying down credit cards, that kind of thing. Because that weighs heavily. And sometimes people don't want to get involved with somebody who has a lot of debt. Yeah. if you have decent family relationships and some or a few family members or one who you trust in and you can talk to, that helps out too, because it helps with your support system, right? And also, you just have to know, am I really healthy in terms of my communication with people, right? Can I allow myself to be trustworthy? Can I allow myself to be me when I'm out there? And basically, it comes down to, do I feel okay with who I am, all right? So thanks so much for asking that question, Lisa, and I really appreciate you reaching out. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, and today I am answering your questions about various things. We're really focusing a lot on relationships today because that's one of the most common issues that comes up, not only online here, but also in my office as well. So, you know, we just kind of need to get squared away within ourselves before we're better for other people. I always say that at the end of the show. That's my mantra to y'all. I've been doing this for a long time, this show. And you remember at the end of every show, I say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be good for others. You got to go within and find out who you are and be okay with you. We're going to be touching on that just a little bit, because that's a huge thing. That is huge. Sometimes we're so scattered and we have so many negative messages from the past that we can't go inside and love that, which we are, let alone like us, like ourselves. You know, that's a tough one too sometimes. So, yeah, my biggie is stop beating up on yourself. Come on now. Come on. Stop beating up on yourself. Don't do that to you. Okay. Oh, this one. This is a good one. Because I have a lot of people asking me questions. Let me just look here. Yeah, I really like that one. it's really good. Okay, this is from Alex. And he said, a friend of mine keeps telling me how his therapist is working with him on how self-talk can help him be happier or more positive about himself and his life in general. Does this really help, and how can I start using self-talk? What is that about? Okay. Thank you, Alex. What a great question. You know, we call it self-talk. It's kind of old school stuff. So it's basically telling yourself that you're okay. It's like affirmations. The key to self-talk, which is sort of affirmations, you know, I am worthy. I am lovable. I am abundant. Okay. How did you feel, guys, when I just said that? Did that make you kind of, ooh? Did you have a little bit of a not feeling? Yeah. Well, you have to believe the self-talk. So you can't just keep repeating yourself like a robot. I am wealthy. It's not going to get in there. Okay. Yeah. You have to feel it and feel the real. The real, feel it. I am abundant. How am I abundant? I am this. I am that. So when you're doing the self-talk or affirmations, which are sometimes one and the same thing, you have to really, you know, have that emotional connection in believing what you're saying. You may not be all in 100%, but you could be a little bit in and say, you know what? I am a nice person and I'd be a great partner. Okay, that kind of thing. You feeling that? You good about yourself? That kind of thing. So here's how it works. So self-talk, to answer your question, Alex, is kind of a way to override our past negative programming. Okay, so it erases and kind of replaces our past thinking with conscious, positive new directions. So it's kind of a practical way to live our lives, and it's using active intent rather than passive acceptance. In other words, we have to use our beta conscious brain to keep reinforcing, you know, rehearsal, reinforcing. That's how we learn stuff. So what's going on is with self-talk is we have a way to give new directions to our old subconscious programming. The best way to do that is in a self-hypnosis thing. You can learn how to do that to yourself, self-talk. And, you know, put on audio. Yeah, just plug it in. There's a lot of good ones, of course, podcasts, stuff like that. But you can do that. You can create your own self-talk audio tape just before you go to bed. Yeah, record yourself. Read a script, whatever works for you, talking to yourself. Or like I said, use some of the other ones that are really good. But that way, we're talking to ourselves in a different way. Okay, so we're sort of consciously reprogramming our internal control centers with words and statements which are more effective. And they'll be more helpful to every part of us and that we'd like to improve. So whatever it is, the self-talk basically, it's statements that paint a new internal picture of ourselves as we would most like to be. Okay. And we have kind of five levels to get there. You can't just all of a sudden, like I said, if you don't believe something about yourself, I am wonderful. I am a beautiful person. I am abundant. If you don't believe it, not going to get in there because you have that constant arguing frontal lobe that's always now, but yeah, but. So there's levels. You have to kind of get into it. So if you're in level one, there's just kind of like five levels, I think, to where you have to sort of get to. So you identify which level you're in. All right, Alex. Okay. Self-talk, five levels. Number one, it's the level of negative acceptance. So this is dominated thoughts like, I can't. I couldn't ever do that. I'm tired. I just don't have the energy I used to have. Or other gems like that. I just too hard. I just, yeah, not. Okay. That's the biggie. That's like, that's no go zone. Not going to happen. So you got to move into the next zone, which is level two self-talk. And that's the level of recognition and need to change. So it's dominated by phrases like, you know, I really need to start exercising more. Things like that. And I really should, like, buy nicer clothes and look better when I go out there. I really need to work on my openness when it comes to talking with people. That kind of thing. It's slightly better than level one, but it's not where we want to spend our time. But at least it's sort of recognizing us. Recognize ourselves. I need to. Not I could never. Or this is too hard in level one. Level two is kind of like, you know, it's recognition that you need to change. Level three, self-talk, it's kind of the level of decision to change. So this is a big step. And this is where you have to self-talk. And you've got to be committed to change because you're saying, I really need to do this for so long. Now I'm really tired of hearing myself say, I need to do this in level two. So now you're committed to change and you're clear on what you're going to stop doing. And you need to say things like, I am an exercising person. I do try to take care of myself better. I no longer procrastinate. Things like that. And you're committed. And you really focus or write down or tell yourself, you know, whatever, voice text yourself, whatever you do, write letters to yourself. Message yourself that you no longer do things. You're not going to put things off. This is powerful because you're programming new instructions into your subconscious mind, you know, on that conscious beta level. You're telling yourself because you are taking the action. And don't kill yourself, kick yourself if you haven't lived up to, I didn't do my exercise today. Just say, I will do it tomorrow. And do it. Do all those tools that it takes. Whatever. And I'm not, you know, this is not guilting you out for not exercising. I'm just talking about eating healthier, exercising, going, hanging out with people who are good for you. Do things that are good for you. Go get that massage. I no longer am one who's going to complain. I am that person that's going to get that massage this week because I deserve it because I'm stressed out. All right, we're moving along to level four self-talk, and this is the level of the better you. So this is probably one of the most powerful kinds of self-talk because this is really, now that you've done these things in level three, you've made attempts to go out and take care of yourself and do certain things you want. This is all about I am statements. Like, I am getting in control of my life. I did really well on that project at work. I am really working on becoming more healthy and energetic and, you know, and opening up to looking at myself and some of my unresolved issues. So this sort of self-talk level four inspires you and kind of encourages you. You're your own kind of champion there. You're your own coach. You know what I'm saying? So it excites us and kind of, yeah, pushes us forward a little bit more, strengthens that armor of our spirit, I would say, and hardens the steel of our determination, right? So this is the self-talk that kind of challenges us to do battle with our fears and end up, you know, overcoming some of that stuff. And it stirs us into action. I am doing this, right? Self-belief. And what we need to do is just get grounded and focus. Stop going all over the place. You know, this is just focus one thing at a time. Stop multitasking. I know we need to. We can do that. But when we're all spread out and we're just consciously all over the place, that's what meditation's about. It's like just clear your mind or try to focus on one thing. You know, if I'm writing and I'm focusing on what I'm writing, that's meditation for me, baby. That's on. I'm on it. I'm in it. I'm in the zone. Find things that can bring you in the zone where you're in the here and now. Okay? And this is the level we want to spend most of our time, you know, because we're actualizing it. Okay? And then there's level five, which none of us really have. Most of us don't really have, but no, this is actually a lot of people do. A lot of my friends who are associated with Dave's Good Vibration Station, the talk show here on LA Talk Radio, Sundays, 1 p.m. The Divine Mind Tribe people on Instagram. These guys are there. These women are there. It's the level of universal affirmation. Level five. By the way, if you haven't checked it out, check out Divine Mind Tribe on Instagram. Divine.mind.tribe. These folks are, they're plugged in. Okay. So level five is the level of universal affirmation, what we call it. And it's sort of the self-talk of the higher functioning beings, more conscious beings on this planet who experience oneness. And however you want to call it, I'm not talking about religion, maybe, if that works for you, but it's a higher consciousness level, you know, and you connect yourself with that higher, go within, find that higher consciousness with you that you connect to the, I don't know, the one. Or we are all one, of course, but, you know, it's just, this is where we go. It's just having that solid relationship with ourselves and that higher power that drives us within us and without us, outside of us is what I'm saying. So anyway, there's like hundreds of examples, just going back to level four, because I got some texts. Oh, that's so funny. I was just checking out my thing on Gmail here, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And it said, what? Yeah, right. Talk about level four again. Okay. So there's hundreds of examples already written, on level four. So it's things like, what is that? When you achieve things, you accomplish something in your environment, at work, you accomplish something with a communication thing, you're finding some inner enlightenment, things like that. Okay, when you do these things slowly, then you can say, when you're in level four, I'm a winner. Wow, I believe in myself. I really killed it on that project. I respect myself. I like who I am. I made that decision to win in my life, and I'm going for it. Now, we don't always win. There's always pushbacks, you know, four steps ahead and five, six steps back. It's cool, but we're going forward slowly. We're keep going forward. Okay. Can you imagine? I mean, really, can you imagine going through the rest of your life with that kind of self-talk on your side? You know, think of that kind of programming that kind of direction would create. And what we say, is really kind of what comes back to us. Our reality is reflected out there.
Oh,
I know you're going, no, you're doing the law of attraction stuff, Dr. Michelle. That's not scientific. Well, yeah, it is. I mean, if you listen to some folks who are really plugged into the physics of the quantum thing and how we are all connected and what you put out there, you're going to get back. You know, it's been around a really long time. So you want to check that out. Okay. Let's see here. I wanted to talk a little bit about, let me just see if I can find this. We're not going to do the sex thing today. Do you want to do that? No, we're not. Okay. I'll touch on that at the very end. If you want to, how to talk to your partner about sex. Most of us hopefully don't have to talk about it. So hopefully, but sometimes it just gets really tough and it gets awkward and weird and, you know, things like that. So we need to talk about that kind of thing sometimes. All right, let's move on. And this is about growing up in a home with difficult parents. Let's see here. Oh, this is great. Okay, Lindsay, thanks for sharing. My four sisters and brothers and I had a rough time growing up in a home with a dad who was distant and always gone and an over-controlling and constantly moody mom. Oh, dear. My brother-in-law, who's married to my sister, is a marriage family therapist, MFT. He says that my mom may have borderline personality disorder. I've read about that. She fits the profile in many ways. Now that most of us are on our own, we don't like to be with our mom, but I feel sorry for our little brother who's still with her because he's in high school. Can you tell me more about this personality disorder and how I can help my little brother cope with living in an environment with a borderline mom? So, you can be there for him. You sound like a really sweet person, Lindsay, and I really appreciate you reaching out to ask that. So I just want to say, if your brother-in-law has diagnosed, if he's a therapist and he says, oh my gosh, she checks most of the boxes for BPD, borderline personality disorder, it's really tough and it's sad. And it's not something you can do you don't want to put this person down or shame them or, oh, they're bad and they're horrible and they're, whatever. It's a very tough disorder. They're not happy people. There's mood swings they can't control. They feel very alone and abandoned. And it really sucks to have that. That's all, you know, that's about as straight as I can get about it. So if your mom has the BPD going on, it's almost a given that you've had a difficult relationship with her, as your siblings have. You say four sisters, woo! And you have a little brother. You know, there's different ways that you probably, you know, had to cope with her, because there's like neglect sometimes, and then there's over-involvement. And even if your mom has not received an official diagnosis of borderline personality disorder, there's some signs to keep an eye out for. So here's some of the signs that you may have grown up with. And you could explain this, and please look it up. Just Google it or whatever, and go on medical websites, because then you'll be really clear about it. You know, websites that refer to the ICD-10, you know, a definition of that. And then you can share this with your brother. Let him look it up with you and say, look, honey, this is what you're kind of dealing with, and it's kind of not her fault, and it's really hard once you have this personality disorder to segue out of it. Or flip a switch and become a different person, although everyone else wants you to change, very hard to do so. Here's some of the ways that it manifests itself in parenting, and you've seen it. But just show this to your little brother. A lot of neglect is involved, because people with borderline personality issues can be so absorbed in their own pain. They're just dealing with abandonment, fears, pain, low self-esteem. They're really incapable of putting even their own kids' needs before their own. Okay, they just can't. It's really hard. So you're dealing with over control sometimes. All right. They try to control their kids' behaviors and feelings and actions that really kind of inhibits their kids' ability to develop independently. So there's a real codependence thing. Another thing you may see and have grown up with and that y'all are experiencing is rage. Parents with the borderline disorder have reactions that are really disappropriate to the perceived slight or whatever it may be. Everybody's kind of with that disorder sometimes. They're ready to defend when there was no criticism that was meant. So there's occurrences of prolonged rages and angry outbursts that just go on. Okay, tell your brother, just this, it's not about you, sweetie. And moms, too, who have BPD often hurt folks, kids. They do put downs, insults at their kids. And sometimes their children are often seen by their moms as merely extensions of themselves. Because, you know, it's called reflection. So this may reflect feelings the parent has about themselves, and they're projecting their own feelings about themselves that they don't usually like onto their kids. There's blame going on, parental alienation. They may not be able to tolerate a loving relationship between kids and father. They sometimes do what's called splitting. That's probably why the dad shut down or invisible or gone. You can learn more about this, and I would really suggest that you do, you know, get some help with this particular issue, because, I mean, you can understand what's going on a little bit better if you have a good trained therapist who works with people who have personality disorders. So just an idea, honey, and really educate your little brother, your 15-year-old brother who's living with your mom, who's been diagnosed by your therapist brother-in-law with this disorder. So he'll understand what's going on, and try not to take it all personally. Try not to take it on like it's his fault and he's not a good person. Just you and your siblings keep giving him the nourishment emotionally that he needs, as well as yourselves. If you guys are still kind of suffering from that environment, you need to get some help for yourselves too. Because you can, struggle with self-esteem and anger and depression, and, you know, it's all your fault and you're not a good person. And, you know, you just have to educate yourself about ways to change the dynamic in the relationship with your mom. And you set boundaries, you overcome feelings of guilt and obligation, and it is possible to move past that painful home life and have a healthier relationship. But, you know, you get to understand what it is. And again, help your brother, just be there for him, and he'll be a lot healthier if you do. And clue in your brothers and sisters, too, about how to be there and work on their own stuff. Okay. Thank you so much for emailing me, guys, today. It's about that time to get off the couch. Wow. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. That's my email. And if you had any comments or questions about some of the material we've talked about today, some of the suggestions that I've given my listeners, thank you guys so much for reaching out and asking these questions. Really appreciate it. Always love to hear from you. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. And then you will be great for other people. And that's the way it works in the world. All right, be back next week. Got some more great stuff coming up for you to help you out in life. Thanks for listening. Oh, by the way, thanks my instrumentals here. Capital Sons, that's the group. Everybody asked me, who's that group? Capital Sons, that's them. The song's called Spark. All right, take it easy, guys. Bye-bye.